Now then, let's then, just in the short time that we're going to have this morning here, and we'll probably stretch this now to this evening, but this morning I'll do the first part of this. Last week we were singing a song, and you might recall that it was a worship song, and it had the words in it, "He bore my cross." If you were here last week, do you remember that? And then what happened was, we noted that that wasn't, in fact, what the Bible teaches. And I, after we'd sung it, I came down and I said, well, hold on a sec. The Bible doesn't say that he bore our cross. And we stopped and paused, and then we looked at it, and I went into it to explain that, look, what the Bible says is that he bore our sin, but he has commissioned each one of us to, in fact, pick up our own cross daily, which is diametrically opposed to what the song says. Now, this is important, folks. This is very important. If people came up to me and say, oh, well, how come there's miracles? How come there's testimonies? Well, in part, I'll tell you what I think. The Lord led me to be exact with the Word of God. He led me to really study the Word of God and be exact on it and not be sloppy. Because what I found was so many people would take things out of context, and so many people would try and manipulate things to their point of view, and there'd be biases, and sometimes they'd be selfish in their roots. But what I realized was that the power of God is unleashed when, without error, we take on board the truth. And then we live accordingly. And what happens is great, the power of God is released through that understanding. So when people ask about miracles and these things, I really have to say that a lot of it is based on knowing the truth. And the truth would set you free. Not knowing a bias of your denomination, or not knowing your own little funny little thinking. No. It's surrendering our thoughts and genuinely yielding to what the Bible says. When we do that, the power of God manifests. So please hear me on this, because you can be robbed in this area very easily. And I don't want anyone here to be robbed. So does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is very important. This is life-changing, folks. I mean, we've heard the testimonies this morning on the screen of lives that were changed. I mean, just changed. And I think I did give the testimony last week of an 8-year-old girl going through radical chemotherapy because of the aggressive cancer that she has. Did I say this testimony last week? This little girl, 8 years old, took place in the morning service. I was in Texas in the evening. I was in Louisiana in the morning. She was in the morning service, bald head with a little pink, pretty little pink thing, you know, the thing that girls wear with a flower on it. And a little darling, 8 years old. Well, the pastor of the church has written to me saying that they've had tests. She no longer has any cancer. I mean, that is a miracle. And she's testifying to it being a miracle. It's a miracle, folks. Now, look, so when I say this is important, this isn't a pastor hyping things up or, you know, this is someone. Look, why do we want this? We want this because we love. If you love someone, if you really love someone, you want the best for them. When I saw that little girl, you know, I was thinking of, I thought of my little Macy, 8 years old, and I had a love. And I saw Mummy and Daddy, and they were in tears. I mean, they cried the whole service, and it was a 4-hour service. I just saw them always in tears. Because, you know, and so God loves us. And so, you see, Jesus is the same. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the same forever. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so what Jesus can do then, Jesus does now. The thing is, when people try and do it, or when people try and claim it, or when they want to be big, known as big men of God, or something, you see? That's the problem. People, they want to be something. Hey, in this church, we want him to have all the glory. Amen. It's Jesus. This is a, let no one ever know my name or anyone else's name. Let them know the name of Jesus. Let them worship him. Amen. That's what this church is about, folks. And I believe that's a difference as well. So the truth is in this. Watch this. It says this. Now, this is very important for another reason as well, that we all have the same mind. Because as I went through the week, I asked people, did you realize the difference? Could you see the difference between what I was saying when I highlighted it last week? When I, you know, when the song was saying, he bore our cross. And then when I said, no, he didn't bear our cross, he bore our sin. And he tells us, in fact, explicitly to pick up our cross. There's a huge difference. I mean, it's so clear, folks. Some things in Scripture, you know, they're not as clear. It takes study, it takes prayer, and we shouldn't have contention. You know, we should have grace. If it's not an important point, if it's not vital to what we're saying, let's just have grace and not, you know. But when something is very clear like that, when it's very clear, it's very important that we understand it. Because it's very clear. It's not a difficult truth to grasp. There's no other scripture that sort of hints at something slightly different to it. It's clear. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you deny yourself, you pick up your cross daily and follow me. You see? That's clear, folks. When I asked people after the service, most people said, yes, we could see it. Wow, we didn't see it before, but we could see it. But some didn't. Some couldn't see it. That disturbed me. That disturbed me because I knew that if people couldn't differentiate that very simple truth and see it clearly, then they'd be going through life with fudged thinking. And fudged thinking doesn't produce God's best. It never will. God responds to faith, and faith is clear. Faith is clear. Yes, I believe. Not, yes, I sort of believe, I think, I hope, I do. No, it's I believe. And if I believe, I can receive. It's clear. And God wants us to be clear in these things. Not fudged thinking, not maybe could be, clear. Absolutely clear. Watch this. When we find something and the scripture makes it very clear, hold on to it. Just hold on to it. And if 100 people tell you the opposite, don't listen. If the whole of Great Britain tells us the opposite, don't listen. If the scripture is clear on it, that's what we believe. Our touchstone is the scripture and the scripture alone. No, I'm not interested in your opinion. All due respect to you. You may be very clever. You may be well studied. I care nothing for your opinion in comparison to the Word of God. Okay? Because it's the Word of God. Now, if your opinion is informed based on the Word of God and can lead me into godly truth, then I want to listen to your opinion, okay? But I need to know that first. And there's a lot of people with funny biases, and they're not speaking the truth. They're speaking a bias, okay? So this is very important. Everyone knowing what this scripture is actually saying. Watch this. Listen to these words from a letter that was written to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19. This is another reason why it's important for us not to have fudge thinking, for us all to see the clarity of what's been said. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19. And if you don't have Bibles, and if you're not reading it, let me encourage you. Bring a Bible this evening, or bring a Bible next week. It's important to look at this as we read it. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19, it says, first of all, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are, as a church, notice, some people say, oh, well, I have church, me and my friend, we're Christians. We meet in the coffee shop, and it says we're two or three more together. So was it one, we're two or three or something like that. We have church. That's not church, folks. That'll never be church. People like that, help them out. Bless the darlings. Help them out and say, no, that's a legal thing. Two or three gathered in my name, that's a legal thing. Meeting in the homes, the church, yes, the homes were big. There was about 120 people in the home, 100 to 120 people. We know that. It says, when you come together as a church, okay, there are divisions among you, and I part believe it, and indeed, there must be differences among you to show which of you are approved. There must be differences among you to show which of you are approved? Isn't that something? In other words, there's differences among you because some are approved and some aren't approved. So when someone has a different point of view, it's a serious thing. It could even be a sense of some aren't approved. We must be approved. We must have unity. The church was described throughout the New Testament as being united and having the mind of Christ. The healthy church, that is. Much of the church was in difficulties. That's why we have the epistles for our doctrine today. But also, there's another reason why we shouldn't have that fudged thinking, that lack of clarity. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, for example, it says this, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin may be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, during the last days, the last times, what's going to happen is many people will be deceived. There's deception, a lot of deception. And it comes into the church, and it comes in with an intent of watering down the truth. And the watering down of the truth of the gospel has gone on. Let me tell you this, folks. Some people, we've heard about miracles, okay? Which, by the way, is very important. I had a conversation last week. No Jesus, no miracles, you could say. But I was reflecting on it during the week. I thought to myself, well, actually, it's better to say it, no miracles, no Jesus. Better to have it that way around. No miracles, no Jesus. And that is the absolute truth. There must be miracles for Jesus. It's completely consistent within the New Testament. The church knows miracles. The church is the place where miracles take place. Jesus gave us promises. He says these signs will follow them that believe. Miracles were an essential part of the church doctrine. Right throughout history, they have been. But what's happened is we are in a country today where they don't even preach heaven or hell, let alone get to miracles. I mean, most churches aren't even preaching heaven and hell anymore. They don't want to preach that. They want to preach something that's nice. Let me preach something that's nice. Oh, let me just make you feel happy when you go home for your lunch. Go on, just have a lovely day. Have a lovely day. Hope to see you next week. I don't care if anyone comes next week. I'll be here, God willing. Okay? The point is, who am I? Who do I think I am? I am someone who's saved by grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not my gospel. What does my opinion count? Counts for nothing. No. My only purpose, my goal is to point to Jesus. His gospel, his truth, there's power in that. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel says this, there's a broad road and it's taking people to hell. There's a narrow way, narrow gate, few there are that find it, that leads to life. It's not preached in the churches anymore. Brothers and sisters, they don't preach this. They preach other things. I mean, I understand you don't necessarily preach that every week, but you'd like them to preach it sometimes in their churches, wouldn't you? They don't touch on it. Let's make it clear. God wants this church to have leaders raised up within it that know the truth, that preach the full gospel in power, with conviction, with signs and wonders following. And there's a clarity and a unity. God can do great things from this base here, and he's already started. But you see, we must yield ourselves to the scripture rather than yielding the scripture to ourselves. This is a foundational truth. The scripture says this, and this is very important as we close here this morning, because I don't want to take up too much time this morning. I want us to go into this further this evening. In John 16:13, it says this: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." We're not without discernment. We know the age in which we're living. And God has called and commissioned us to be influential in these times. The gospel message in power. What's the gospel? The gospel message is Jesus Christ died that a guilty person who puts their faith in him will live. All their sins were taken on the cross. Everything taken just through faith. That's it. You don't have any works to do, nothing to do at all. Just that sense of, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I believe in what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price on the cross, the penalty for my sins. Jesus did it. And that's all I need to do is say yes to him. And then he washes me clean of all my sins. You see, most of the people are pretending that they're really good people. They've been lulled into a sense that they're really good. Oh, I'm such a kind person. I don't go around, you know, doing terrible things. Hey, your best is as filthy rags. You need Jesus. We need to explain it to people, you know. And if you have been rather naughty as I have been, my mum is here, she knows all sorts of things about me. Perhaps she understands why I'm so happy to know the Lord Jesus. Washed me clean of all my sins. Beautiful, wonderful Savior. But this is the message that God wants us to give to people, folks. And it's not a weak message. It's a message that has power. Because it's not just that. That's just the doorway. Once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then the door is in front of us to the kingdom life. And in the kingdom life, God can impact everything that we're doing, all that we're involved with. And he puts his gifts and graces in us. And he wants to use us as vessels of honor, as tools within his body. Each one of us has a different role in the body. Each one of us has great potential in the body. We just need to yield to what he says. Just yield to him. Now take, for example, this meal that we're going to have at Christmas time. The Christmas meal that has been mentioned earlier. We're going to have a group from Ireland singing, four men singing songs, giving their testimonies. I think it's going to be a tremendous evening. I have a sense of anticipation about that evening. I believe that if people invite friends to that evening, they'll be born again. I believe that. I believe family members will be born again that evening. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but I'm going to ask you to think on this. Have you thought about who you may invite? I've been asking the Lord, who shall I invite, Lord? Who do I need to invite? If you don't have money, it's okay. Just let me know. That's okay. We'll take care of it. Ah, yeah, but I don't like to. Listen, it's irrelevant, that. What's important is that someone can come and hear the gospel. That's the important thing. It's a lovely meal, lovely opportunity for fellowship, a lovely evening. And we want people to come and be born again that night. So have a think on that as part of your role within the kingdom. That applies to all of us. But there's some things that God has called you to do that you haven't yet started to walk in. Just stand up now, please. Let's all stand together as we close. Here am I, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the You know, every eye closed, no one looking around, because I want us to have an opportunity to respond, and I don't want people to be self-conscious or anything else. I want to have an opportunity, an environment here for people just to feel free to respond. Listen to this. You know that God has been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you for years. He's been speaking to your heart for years, and you've grown perhaps hard in that area. I can see someone's grown hard in that area. They just shut him out. In fact, there's several people. You just shut him out in that area. You didn't want to respond because you didn't feel that you had the abilities to respond. That was the whole point. You don't have the abilities, but he was going to use you in that area. His gift is there in you for you to be used in that area. It's not a natural gift, it's a supernatural gift. And this morning, he's saying, look, I want you to have faith in me. Have faith in me and have faith in what I've done in you and what I've placed in you. I've placed my gifts in you. You can. Through me, you can do all things are possible. And those dreams that you had about what your life would look like, about what you would do for Jesus, there were things that I placed in you, he says, and they've been latent, they're still inside of you. But this morning, I want to wake those things up and call them to life. Call those things to come alive inside of you. Those gifts and graces of God, that you would do more than you can think or imagine, because the Lord Jesus is alive in you. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive in you. And you are a mighty person of faith because of him who lives in you, who loves you so much. He loves you so much. Precious child of God, listen to his voice this morning. Hear him as he calls to you this morning, and let him come alive with what he's got for you on the inside. Oh, Father God in heaven, we worship you this morning. Lord, we come and we pray to you this morning. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for everything in our lives. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for Jesus and the beautiful forgiveness that you've lavished on our lives. Father God, we know that you put gifts inside of us. We know that you've put gifts inside of us, and maybe the church hasn't been good at drawing those gifts out. Maybe people have hurt you. Maybe people have got in the way of what God was trying to do. But listen, today's the beginning of the rest of your life. Now then, yield to Him. Yield. Heavenly Father, we pray now, Lord, that your will be done in each one within the sound of this voice. That, Father God, the gifts and the call of God that are on the inside of us would come alive now. Come alive now in the name of Jesus. And that those things that have been latent inside, still inside, would come to life through a yielding to you. If the Lord is speaking to you at this moment in time, with every eye closed, I want you to respond to Him now. Respond to the Lord in faith, putting up your hand and saying, "Yes, Lord, I know that those things are inside of me and I haven't yet responded, but I choose to respond this morning." If that's you, put your hands up right now and respond to what He's doing at this moment. Father God, you see hands raised. There's more to go up. There's more to go up. You see those hands raised. Father God, I pray in your mighty name that this day, this afternoon that's just started now would be the beginning of the rest of our lives and a fresh start for those hopes and those gifts that you've placed inside of my brothers and sisters. And that, Father God, from this morning onwards, this afternoon onwards, those things would be stirred to life and the fullness of your life and call. That, Father God, we would do that which you call us to do, be that which you called us to be, and your great gospel would flourish in its fullness in and through us. Oh, we give you all the praise this morning, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. Now, let's begin to sing. Hallelujah. As we finish our response and our time here this morning, and even as the service closes, what we'll do is we'll allow some time at the front for anyone who wants prayer for anything to come down to the front. Come down to the front.